When we look at today's gospel reading, this is not the Jesus we typically think of, the Jesus that we like to talk about, you know, the Lamb of God, whose blood was shed for the sins of the world, Jesus, meek and mild, the let the little children come to me, what a friend we have in kind of Jesus. This is Jesus saying, I have come to cast fire on the earth. Did you think I came to bring peace? No, I came to bring division, even within your own household. How is it that we hear this passage and then we say our typical response that comes after the gospel reading, this is the gospel of the Lord, thanks be to God? Well, is it? How is it, in fact, that Jesus can say it all, that he came to bring conflict and division and not peace? We talk about the peace of God all the time. At his birth, the angels sang about peace on earth. We are promised peace that passes all understanding, that the peace of Christ will rule in our hearts. Many times we're promised things like this. As believers, we will know peace between us and God. From that, we will know inner peace in our hearts. We find prayers for peace between believers within the church. The greeting of Paul and others when they begin a letter is peace, that traditional Hebrew greeting, shalom. There is the promise also of future peace throughout the world, in that very end, the new heavens and the new earth, when Christ returns and fully establishes his kingdom everywhere. But even beyond that, we are encouraged to start working for the peace even now. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. Leave your gift at the altar, and first go and be reconciled with your brother, he says. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Romans chapter 12. There are so many places in the New Testament that seem to say the exact opposite of this particular passage. How do we make sense of this? On the one hand, Jesus came to bring peace, and fundamental to what the gospel is this message of peace. On the other hand, right here he tells us, he came not to give peace, but rather division. I think those two words are probably the key to understanding what's going on here. Peace versus division. Now, of course, the text says peace, and of course that's what we translate and we read, because we want to be as faithful as possible to the way the text is written. But for the purpose of understanding what's going on, instead of peace, maybe we could say unity. If the alternative is division, well, the opposite of that would be unity. And indeed, where there is true unity, there is peace. Where there is division, there is usually conflict. Dividing versus uniting. Well, our state apart from Christ is indeed united. All humanity is united in sin. We are united in our rebellion against God. Scripture tells us these things. All people have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. No one is truly good. Without faith, it is in fact impossible to please God. Of course, we know that because of our sinfulness and our selfishness, there are still many divisions between human beings in just about every other way. Borders, race, rich versus poor, politics, whatever else. We find plenty of ways to cause conflict between ourselves and division between ourselves. But even when we are divided in these earthly ways, we still find ourselves united in a kind of a spiritual way. We are all in the same spiritual position in relation to God. We are divided from God, but united in sin. When Christ comes into our lives, everything changes. Then we are reconciled with God through him by the faith that comes from him, the faith that trusts in him. When that happens, we are united with God. He works in our lives through the Holy Spirit that calls us to faith, that gathers us into the church, that guides and empowers us to live a new life as his beloved children. And in all that, we increasingly demonstrate the unity with God that he gives to us. We are united in the church with Christ and with all other believers. We are baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in that, as Romans says, we are united with Christ again in his death and in his resurrection. When Christ comes into our lives, we are no longer divided from God. We are very much united with him. We start out life divided from him, but united in sin. When we're reconciled with God by faith, we're united with him, but now we become divided again from the rest of humanity, the rest of the human race that remains in sin and unbelief. That is the source of the division in today's passage, in Jesus' words. Jesus does bring peace. He brings peace between us and God. from his atoning sacrifice on the cross. But that very same process also brings division. Now, his goal is not to divide parents from children. His goal is not to divide spouses from each other. His goal is to reconcile all the world to God. But that division is an inescapable consequence when one person believes and another does not. And Jesus, the message of the gospel, do divide people. There is no neutral ground with respect to him and to God's kingdom. There is no neutral third option. In fact, there are too many real examples of this to ever list. On the one hand, there are many thousands of stories about those who were raised in Islam and then have converted to Christianity. In some countries, they can face beatings, prison, even death for their new Christian faith. Even in the West, they are often pressured to renounce their conversion by being shunned from their families and cut off from everything connected to their old life. For them, the words of Scripture are especially true. The old has passed away, a new life has begun. I also know a person who was raised as an atheist, whose family and friends are all atheists. This person became a Christian only as an adult, and since that time, their best friend has completely broken off all contact. And the reason for it was the Christian faith. This best friend, of many years, going all the way back to childhood, severed all contact because of faith. And finally, I don't say this to fault or to pick on any of these people, but to illustrate the point. Jesus' words here are not hypothetical. They're not just a theoretical example to mull over. They are instead an intense reality for too many people who believe and confess faith in Christ. The gospel does divide people. It does divide families. Some believe and some do not. Peace with God, but conflict with the unbelieving world. And then we have the words of our Old Testament reading from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 23. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? The word of God comes like fire and shows us our sin, declares that we are all sinners and that we all deserve wrath. Hebrews, we also hear, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any sword. It divides not only within families, but within each one of us, dividing soul and spirit, piercing the deepest intentions of our hearts. The Word of God is a force that none of us can withstand. The law of God accuses us of our sin and promises His justice. Now, Jesus is still in the business of dividing and making divisions. He seeks to divide us from the sin, from the selfishness, from the unbelief of our fallen human nature. He seeks to divide us from our sinful thoughts and habits, from false beliefs and false views of the world, from distortions of God's truth. In a word, he calls us to repentance. He calls us to live lives characterized by repentance and by faith in his righteousness and in his forgiveness. And some hear and believe, and others do not. Divisions are, sadly, inevitable. And we mourn these divisions. They are inevitable, but they're not a good thing. The only real way to heal them and to repair these rifts is the unity that comes through faith. The division of this world is only cured by the unity of Christ. Now, his peace and his unity are real. It is real even now. We already know the peace of God that comes through faith. And it is also a promise of the future that is still to be fulfilled. It is a promise of when Christ returns and claims his people as his own. The peace and unity of the new creation. But until that day, this separation does remain, and so we continue to invite people into the unity through the gospel. So this business of dividing continues on. We are called to make divisions in ourselves, to separate ourselves from anything that would separate us from Jesus. This is our process of striving against sin, of looking into our own hearts and repenting of what we usually find there. This is running the race, as today's reading from Hebrews chapter 12 goes. Let us also lay aside every weight, the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The refrain of the previous chapter, Hebrews 11, over and over and over again, is the same. By faith. By faith. By faith. All these figures from the Old Testament are mentioned with one thing in common. their faith in God, their challenges, their sufferings, their temptations, their insecurities, whatever else they faced in their lives, were often quite different. But they're all mentioned together here in Hebrews because of one thing, because of their common faith. We say about them what is written about Abraham. They believed and trusted God, and it was counted to them as righteousness. And that is what we are called to in the Christian life. Joyful that we do indeed have peace with God through the blood of Christ. We share that message of joy and peace with everybody. We strive to live like the redeemed people we are. We are called to run this race with endurance, to face any current conflicts or divisions that may arise, because Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, the one who gives eternal peace, is waiting there at the finish line. We are called to continue to strive against and make these divisions against anything that would separate us from Him or lead us astray. We are called to invite all the world into the same unity through the gospel. While we live in this world, divisions will continue. But in the world to come, we will know peace, unity, this division, this conflict will cease.